As the monitoring period of the Millennium Development Goals comes to an end, new analysis has been released today which gives a regional perspective on figures in the latest State of Food Insecurity in the World report. The annual report was released by the UN's three Rome-based food agencies this week. Over the past 25 years, the African region has seen considerable population growth, structural transformation, as well as a number of economic and political changes. The region as a whole is greatly diverse, and the challenges faced vary between subregions and countries, but many successes have been achieved. To provide some insight into the figures and the analysis of this latest report is Mr. Bukar Dijani, Assistant to the Director General of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, and he is based at the regional office in Accra, Ghana. Mr. Tijani, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
How has the prevalence of undernourishment changed in the region from the beginning of the monitoring period of 1990-92 to the end of the monitoring period of 2014-2016?
Well, generally speaking, within that period from 1990 to 92 segment, we have over a billion people across the globe. But with the global drop from about 805 million, now it has dropped to 795 million. And in the Africa region, we have a general drop. For example, in West Africa, we have a drop of 11 million persons who have now improved on their food security and nutrition. So within the period, we have really achieved for the Africa region tremendous progress based on the figures during the monitoring period.
In the report, the prevalence of undernourishment has declined, but the total number of undernourished continues to increase. Could you explain that a bit for me, please?
Well, during the reporting period or the monitoring period, earlier on, we have one out of three Africans within the sub-Saharan Africa malnourished, and they go hungry every day. But now it's one out of four. But that notwithstanding, when we look at the percentages of decreases in those that go hungry or malnourished, the percentages have come down. But because of the population growth, in terms of real numbers, the numbers have gone up.
So did sub-Saharan Africa reach the Millennium Development Goal and the World Food Summit target?
7 out of the 47 countries within sub-Saharan Africa, that is the Republic of Ghana, Djibouti, Angola, Gabon, Cameroon, Mali, Sao Tome and Principe, have reached the World Food Summit goals. And then, of course, those that have reached that one have automatically also reached the MDG goals. But for the MDG goals, we have quite a number of countries in the region that have reached their goals. Niger, Nigeria, Ethiopia, Gambia. There are also quite a number of countries, South Africa and others, which have reached the MDG goals. While some countries are trying to reach that, but they have not reached that goal so far.
Focusing on the progress for a moment, what contributed to the achievements made by the higher performing countries?
The higher performing countries, I believe, is a combination of quite a number of policies, also initiatives. But the first one, I would say, is the high level commitment at the heads of state level. That is one. And this is also backed by ownership of policies which have been generated within the country. And these policies generally are the policies that the AU or the regional economic commissions are following. And it has come now to the Malabo declarations. But these countries have provided a lot in terms of commitments at the highest level. And they are also looking at how acceleration of sustainable agricultural development can be done. They've been promoting structural transformation in their countries. They've been also fostering public-private partnerships. They've been addressing livelihoods, risk and uncertainties, and also enhancing trade and regional integration. These are all part of the commitment. So there is policy, more investment generally in the agriculture arena, and then there are also more inclusiveness. That's the public, the private sector, the farmer groups, producer groups, and others, and they're following on the value chain. So this has given them much more leverage to reach those targets.
And for the subregions seeing slow declines in hunger, were there common contributing factors to that slower progress?
Well, I would say yes, in a way. When the commitments are low and also investments in the agriculture sector, especially the food and nutrition security, are not so high, it means that those goals cannot be reached. And for the Africa region, since 2003, the heads of states have agreed on a Maputo declaration where 10% of national budgetary allocations would be made to the agriculture sector. Many of the countries have not done this, but for those that have achieved the World Food Summit, most of them have reached that. And then for those who have also achieved the MDGs, most of them have done those. But certainly there are also other factors. We have civil strifes, we have political instabilities, we have insurgencies, which have also made some of these countries not to have achieved those goals.
And going forward, what should the focus for policymakers be in order to strengthen food security in the region?
I must say that there is a very high commitment in the Africa region by the heads of states, especially following the Malabo Declaration. There is now a roadmap and all countries are committed to those. But beyond those, we are looking at major integrations in terms of initiatives that will accelerate agricultural production. And then most of the countries will have to be looking at the whole of this process and enterprise, agribusiness mode so that people can actually achieve a lot. Getting employments, incomes, standards, and then this will create much better products for markets. There is need for the public-private sector participation, more participation, because there are all those PPP arrangements that the public-private partners are looking for. Environments, good policy environments, fiscal environments that they can actually come in and invest. There is also the need to look at how to mitigate some of the challenges, impacts, effects of climate change and other natural disasters or insecurities and uncertainties so that it can allow for greater growth. There is need for then integration of trade within the Africa region and also outside. But this is now being obtained through what is being encouraged by FAO and also its partners, AU and the countries, to make sure that we have value addition on commodities and even local cereals and crops so that this can actually provide for food standard safety and greater incomes.
Mr. Tijani, thank you so much for your time today.
You're most welcome.